Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is Monday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Rush Limbaugh apparently in big trouble after calling a Georgetown Law School student a slut on the air. Some advertisers pulling their support from a show, but did he really cross the line? And isn't this kind of verbiage somewhat common in the heated political discourse that is often found on talk radio? To discuss that, I'm joined by Angelo Carasone, Director of Online Strategy for Media Matters for America. This is a progressive research and information center dedicated to comprehensively monitoring the conservative misinformation in the U.S. media. So looking at that, Angelo, I'm guessing that you've never been a big Rush Limbaugh fan.
Actually, I have to make a little bit of a confession here. You're not born a certain political ideology. When I was growing up, I actually did listen to Rush Limbaugh. I was obviously a kid at the time, but I certainly did. There was a period of my life where I was actually kind of an avid fan. I was pre-teenager, so I think I have a fair excuse for that. But I felt like my first exposure to him, was recent.
I see. Well, Rush Limbaugh does have the number one radio show in the country, according to some. He did apologize for his comments. Should we just let it go at this point?
No, I don't think so. I think that characterizing what the issue is here as just sort of saying one or two words that people didn't like is not a complete representation of what took place on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week. He spent three full days attacking this student in front of his audience, and as you noted, it is the largest radio audience in the country. So I think that what comes with that is a fair degree of responsibility, and I think that the outrage isn't over just the single word. And I think people are frustrated about the relentlessness of the attacks. I mean, someone broke it down and identified 53 individual smears against Sandra Fuchs. For example, even if we just take his apology, right, which only focused on those two words, well, what about the apology for saying that Sandra Fuchs has so much sex that he's surprised she can still walk? Or what about the apology for saying in front of his entire audience that suggesting that she was having sex as a sixth grader and asking who was purchasing her condoms then? There are plenty others. I don't think it's necessary to belabor them, but what I want to just capture with that is that I don't think just boiling it down to two words really gets at what took place for those 3 days last year. And I'm not the only person that has that opinion. Right now, 12 major advertisers so far share the same sentiment, that it was the degree, it was the scope, it was the intensity of these attacks on someone who is not a political figure or a celebrity, but just another individual who could be a mom, a sister, a daughter. Like, it makes it very different, and it really gets to the issue of what level of responsibility Mr. Limbaugh has as a result of his enormous platform.
Well, look, in 2006, he mocked Michael J. Fox for his Parkinson's disease, and then 3 years before that, he had to resign from ESPN's Sunday NFL Countdown because of statements he made about African-American quarterback Donovan McNabb. So isn't this just another day in the office for Rush Limbaugh, and isn't this kind of controversy the reason why he does have the number one radio show in the country?
No, see, I think so. Controversy is certainly just another day in the office for Limbaugh. So you're definitely right about the idea that controversy is. But this isn't there's obviously good controversy, especially if you are in media. As you know, there's value in some controversy because it brings attention to you. And then you can in turn turn that attention into profit by making business arrangements, advertising deals, endorsements, that kind of stuff, right? So if you can turn the controversy into profit, that's good business, and that's the good kind of controversy. But not all controversy is the same, right? I mean, in the past, there's not been an exodus of Mr. Limbaugh's advertisers in the way that there has been here, right? And those advertisers are making a business decision. They're saying, this is no longer a good business arrangement. And they're not just small advertisers. I mean, some of them have been with him for a very long time and are his most significant advertisers. He can't turn the controversy and this attention into another business deal. So I think that's what makes this distinguishable from things in the past, let alone I think the substance of the attacks here are different than the kinds of attacks and things he said in the past. The two examples that you gave were both about celebrities, and they were both one-off remarks, right? He didn't go on a three-day attack on Michael J. Fox and his Parkinson's disease. Certainly, I think if he did, it would have been a very different situation. And you know, just taking aside sort of the politics of it, or whatever the politics are, or any people's feelings about Mr. Limbaugh, just putting that whole aside for 1 minute. At the end of the day, the fact is, he didn't just make a one-off remark. He attacked her for 3 days, and that says something about him, right? It says something about him to his prospective business partners, these advertisers. And what it says to them is, be wary, because he's going to engage in some kinds of conduct that isn't the good kind of controversy.
I see. Well, I'm talking to Angela Carasone, Director of Online Strategy for Media Matters for America, which is a progressive research and information center. You know, Angela, conservatives will point to the way Sarah Palin was attacked as one example of liberals getting away with disparaging a woman. Don't they have a point here? I mean, aren't we maybe picking on Rush Limbaugh a little too much?
So here's what I think that I don't want to dismiss the kinds of attacks and criticisms against Sarah Palin that may not have been appropriate, right? I think we were talking a little bit in the abstract here, so I don't want to pretend like there was not anything that was inappropriate there. But there's obviously a very big difference on a few levels. Number one, she was a political figure who had power and platform of her own to directly address the kinds of comments that were made to her, right? I mean, Mr. Limbaugh's audience heard for 3 days that Sandra Fluke was having sex as a sixth grader, and that she's a prostitute, right? Like, that affects somebody's life. I mean, if somebody said that about my sister to 15 million people, I would be pretty upset. And I really wouldn't care who said it. I wouldn't care if it was a Democrat or a Republican. I wouldn't care if it was a Libertarian. I would just care that it was said and that 15 million people hear it and that my sister doesn't have the ability to tell those 15 million people that she's not a prostitute. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that would really, that, like, that's what I think the difference is on it's getting aside for sort of like, oh, well, they, you know, in general, there were nasty things said about Sarah Palin that could have been construed as sexist.
I
would certainly agree with that. I'm very sensitive to the idea that, you know, that there's inappropriate stuff that takes place, that our discourse sometimes dismisses women, that there's a latent sexism that I think we should try to grapple with a little mm-hmm. bit better, just to make a better society. You know, we all share it. We live together.
Angela, just a minute left, but I do want to ask you, how much power would you say Limbaugh really has when it comes to the Republican Party? Do you think that ultimately that there's going to be muted criticism of him and this will pass?
I don't know if this is going to pass. I think that, you know, I think the question about whether or not this is going to pass is different from his political power, right? So the question about whether or not this will pass is a purely business decision. And looking at the business landscape right now, it doesn't seem to be the case, right? It seems like it's only going to actually get worse. In terms of the political power, well, obviously, as you noted, he is the largest radio station in the country, the radio host. He's got an enormous platform, and as a result of that, carries with it the appropriate power that comes with that. But there is a responsibility, too, and it does appear that because he ignored that responsibility and did so in such a very reckless degree for 3 days that might dampen that effect too. But I think him lasting and sort of the effects there and the politics are two separate questions. One's business, one's political. There's overlap, obviously, but I think they're two separate issues.
Bottom line, Rush Limbaugh remains in business several months from now?
I don't know. You know, I think that we're already seeing local affiliates drop him. They're already making the business decision. I think it's really going to depend on what takes place over the next few weeks. I suspect that more advertisers will go, that more affiliates will go, and that at some point, you know, Clear Channel is going to have to make a real decision here. You know, Clear Channel has much more properties than just Rush Limbaugh. They have an enormous company, a lot of staff that they need to keep going, and they have a responsibility to their own, to the stations that they own, and to the stations that they syndicate Mr. Limbaugh to. And if they syndicate him to stations that can't run commercials during his program, that's a big problem for the radio stations that they do business with, and they're definitely going to have to grapple with it at some point. I don't think this is just a temporary flare-up.
Angela Carasone, Director of Online Strategy for Media Matters for America. Angelo, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And we're coming right back.